says verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I'm going to read it again. For by grace, somebody say grace.
Grace.
By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast about it. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Two things I want to highlight in verse 8 says, by grace we're saved. I want to just thank the Lord for his grace. Some of us, if it wasn't for his grace, we would not be standing here today. If it wasn't for God's supernatural intervention, his loving kindness towards us, even in our rebellion and our disobedience, God showered us with his grace, his kindness. He kept us from danger. And so, Father, we just want to honor you one more time. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of your grace. We thank you for the gift of your love, God. Shower us with your love today. I'm praying now, God, that as we enter into this time where we fellowship with you through your word, that you will open up the eyes of our understanding. I'm praying now, God, that we will get some new insight about how good you really are today, so that we can trust you with more in all of our lives. Father, we know that you are trustworthy. The Bible shares stories after stories of how trustworthy you've been to those who've had faith and confidence in you. And Lord God, we want to share in the testimony of those who brag about how good you are. Lord, I thank you now for every need being met, every concern and every question being answered. We thank you now, God, that you are opening up our eyes to see your faithfulness to us. Lord, we will not fear, we will not worry, we will not be anxious for anything, but we will put our trust in you, Lord, knowing that you care for us. So, Father, we thank you for being a father, a mother, a parent, a guardian, a way maker for us. And this, I just want you to establish your priorities in us today, God. We lay aside every agenda. We lay aside every weight of sin before you today, God. And we thank you now for what you're about to do in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You see, faith is the vision of heaven. It's the vision of heaven, Lord. It's seeing what heaven is seeing. It's seeing what God is seeing. And the Bible says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God. The Bible also says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it'll be wrong for God to tell me to have faith if there's no way for me to get faith. If I'm in the middle of a circumstance that seems hopeless and God says have faith, then that means, what do you mean, God? How can I have faith? There's nothing to have faith for. Unless God gives us the very tool needed for us to have faith. And the Bible says Romans chapter 10, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So it's our responsibility to have the faith needed for God to do what he wants to do in our lives. If it's impossible to please him, but without faith, that means it should be our priority to make sure that we're getting faith. Amen? And the faith comes from hearing the word. So when I hear the word of God, and I'm hearing the promises that are found in God's word, I attach my belief and my confidence to that word. I begin to literally visualize myself receiving and walking into the very things that God promises me in his word. It's like this. Why does God use His word vehicle to create faith? What is it about words? What is it about words that God uses that to be the vehicle that He produces faith? And I was thinking about that earlier, and the thought came to me. You know that words create images or pictures. Words create pictures. You see something through words, right? So, for example, if I was to say, just close your eyes right now. If you were to close your eyes, I'm just going to say a word. Just close your eyes. I'm going to say small dog. I'm guaranteeing you when I said small dog, a picture of a small dog came before you in your image. You've seen that, right? Or if I say a small brown dog, you can see an image of a small brown dog. Red fire truck. A dollar bill. A blue house. Every word that I'm telling you, right, you're seeing an image or visual, a vision of the word that I'm saying. Which means that when you can open up your eyes now, which means that words have the ability to create imagery in our hearts. We can see things based on words. So when God gives us His word or gives us a promise, God wants His word to produce the same effect in us. That, remember last week we talked about Abraham. When God called Abraham from the land that he was in, God said, Abraham, I want you to leave your country and leave your family and leave your father's house and for a land I will show you. Then he said, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be a blessing to nations, and you're going to have your family is going to be blessed, right? God began to, through His word, create an entire vision for Abraham's life. A new vision was created through the word that was being released or spoken to him. And I want you to understand, the word of God, when God begins to speak to you, God wants you to begin to visualize yourself walking in the very things that He says He will do for you. So I'm pretty sure Abraham began to just imagine himself having this son that he never had. He was 75 years old, having the seed he never had before, and enjoying his son for the first time, right? Well, I can imagine Sarah, who was barren, who had no, she was barren at the time, she couldn't have kids, wondering and imagining what it would be like to give birth. I want you to begin to understand, God is speaking to us and He has a vision for our lives. When we look back at Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Can you imagine God giving you a gift? Right? Can we see a gift? Now, I want you to imagine God giving you this gift. Now, when somebody gives you a gift, are they angry at you? So that means you can't have an angry image of God if you know He's giving us gifts. God is ready to give us good gifts. And we need to have a healthy view of God. We need to see God happy, joyful. Because I've learned over time, Mike, that the image that you have of God will be the image that you portray of Him. Right? So if you understand God to be happy and pleasurable, you're going to be a happy and a delightful person. If you think God is an angry, mean God, is ready to, you know, beat you over the head every time you do something wrong, that's the very attitude that you're going to also portray. So you see a lot of angry Christians because they see an angry God. You see a lot of sad Christians because they see a God who they feel is sad or mad or something, right? So we need to have a new view of God if we're going to accurately represent Him on this earth. So the Bible says, by grace. The word grace means undeserved favor, unearned favor. It means that there's nothing that you do to earn the grace of God. Which means that if it's unearned favor, unearned blessings, I can't earn what God has in store for me. I don't earn it, but I receive it and I can enjoy it. Because it's a gift. Mother's Day, you guys just walked away with some gifts. And we were delighted in giving you those gifts because it was a way we wanted to honor you, right? For all the sacrifices that you've made to help mold the community and the culture and the world that we live in. Right? So we find delight in that. We find honor. And it's a joy. We're not saying, yeah, take these gifts. No, we want it to be a special occasion. We want to celebrate that. Amen? So our salvation is a gift from God. It's something that we're supposed to enjoy and celebrate. Amen? It's something that we hold highly and we boast about, we brag about. Not because we earned it, but because Jesus paid it for us. The next verse, the Bible says in verse 9, not of works lest any man should boast. God does things for us, not so that we can boast about it in our own selves. Like, he doesn't want us to take any credit. But God has a way of setting us up to a place where everything that we think we have planned and lined up, that we thought, you know, we can do to accomplish, that we can feel good about ourselves. God says, all right, I hope you understand it's not about you. So that you've given your heart to me, I'm going to take that away. I'm going to remove this, you know, like Jenga. You saw us detaching those things until the whole tower falls, everything you built up. He says, no, now I'm going to rearrange it and build it the way that I envisioned it. And that's what verse 9 and verse 10 is talking about. The next part says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained. Somebody say ordained. He ordained that we should walk in them. All right? We are his workmanship. I want you to think about that. We are God's workmanship, God's handiwork. God's workmanship. The amplified version, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, which he planned beforehand, for us taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. And what I want you to understand, see, workmanship, see, this iPad is the workmanship of Steve Jobs, right? Steve Jobs, this is Steve Jobs' handiwork. He envisioned this product, and he designed it, he crafted it, and he worked it, and he got some guys to help put together all the specifications, the functionalities of how it's going to work, and today, we get to enjoy the product of Steve Jobs' vision. See, when we say that something is the workmanship of something, Steve Jobs didn't just accidentally create this. He had a vision in mind before he created this. He saw it before he actually saw it, right? He had a vision, presented it to his team, and they said, hey, I have a vision of this thing. It's like a tablet that I'm going to be able to walk in. This is my workmanship right here. He had this vision of, you know, you're going to be able to write with your finger, you're going to be able to read all your books on one device, and he created this thing. But he envisioned it before he created it. He had a plan in mind before it was manifested. And when you understand you are God's workmanship, you got to understand that God envisioned you and planned you before you were actually created and born. Yes. You are the product of God's vision. Like, if you can imagine Steve Jobs sitting here working and building this thing and how it was going to work, what it would be able to do, what it would be able to contribute to the world, I want you to realize that God did the same thing for us as his workmanship. So the Bible says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's so important. We got to re-emphasize this today, because we have a society today that talks about us evolving from apes. Right? That doesn't give you a good view of yourself. You came from an ape. How much pride can you really take in yourself if that's your birthplace, right? This is why the enemy, you got to be aware how the enemy is trying to pervert the minds of people today. The Bible says we are God's workmanship. Isn't that better to look at? To know that? And he created us in Christ unto good works, or works that he has already ordained before that we should walk in. So just like this iPad has a specific, or has multiple functionalities, and has a specific assignment and a purpose, you got to understand that you also have a specific purpose in mind that God has in mind and God has in store for you, right? Like, but I can also use this iPad and use it for the wrong reasons. You know, if I see, you ever seen a table that was uneven, and you kind of took a phone book and propped it up under so that I could see up? Now, is that the purpose of the phone book? No. But you find a way to use it, but it's not being used the way the designer intended it for it to be used, right? It's supposed to be a guide for phone numbers, not to hold up a table. And many times in life, we find ourselves just sticking ourselves in places, trying to do stuff that we weren't created to do. And so while we're still being used and still finding something to do, are we actually serving the purpose and the vision that God had in mind for us? And so we've been talking about foundation of a vision, and the foundation of a vision, you must always remember, vision comes from God, and vision is a gift from God. And that we were all created to have a vision. We were all created with a specific plan from God of how he wanted us to live our lives. And the Bible says that is the good works that we were created for. Now, the story of Abraham is a story of a man, once again, who the Lord called him, and he gave them this awesome revelation that he was going to be the father of many nations at a time when he didn't even have any kids, and at a time when he was old in age. You know, it took Abraham almost 25 years before he seen the promise. That when the time God called him, when he was 75 in the land of Ur, it wasn't until 25 years later that he gave birth to his son Isaac. Now, how many people you know can hold on to a promise for 25 years? What was so amazing about that, besides the fact that he had to wait 25 years, Abraham... The promise was that Abraham was going to actually have this son with his wife, Sarah. But the thing was, Sarah was barren. Her womb was dead. She couldn't have kids, naturally speaking. And she was old in age. So that's two strikes against Abraham from actually trying to see this blessing come to pass. Then, later on in the story, we understand that Abraham tried to take the initiative and trying to make it work in his own hands. And then Sarah actually suggested to Abraham, said, you know what, why don't you, Hagar, she's the maid that's serving in the house. Why don't you just spend the night with Hagar and just let her have the seed that God promised you. And Abraham actually listened to her, tried it. And she gave birth to a son named Ishmael. But when he presented it to God, God said, Abraham, that's not what I promised you. That wasn't the promised seed. And Ishmael, unfortunately, he was born, but he did not receive the inheritance or the blessing that was on his father Abraham. Abraham made another mistake. God could have said, you know what, Abraham, you messed up. I'm going to take this promise away. I'm going to find somebody else. But even through all of the mistakes and everything that Abraham did, God still blessed Abraham, and he still went by faith with his wife Sarah. And when Abraham was 100 years old, he gave birth to his son Isaac, the promise. It was by grace Abraham was able to see any of this manifest in his life. But what the Lord loved about Abraham and all that he did, he didn't do everything right, but Abraham believed God. And that's Abraham's testimony. Abraham is known as the father of faith, right? Let's turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 4. I'm going to just breeze through this. Romans chapter 4. Just give me... all I need is 15 minutes. Romans chapter 4. We have to say amen. Verse 16. Therefore it is of faith. Somebody say faith.
Faith.
That it might be by grace. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. Bible says, God made him a father of many nations. And the Bible says, God, he quickens the dead, or he brings the dead back to life, and he calls things which be not as though they were. Now I want you to think about that phrase right there. God calls things that are not as though they were, as if it already is. Now if that's the way God operates, and that's the way God functions, and we got to understand something, we can understand something about faith, that faith is calling things that are not as though they were. Faith calls things that are not as though they were. So when we see, for example, Jesus, when he lived his life, we see Jesus tell a dead man, or tell somebody next to them, tell his family, he's not dead, he's sleeping. It was like Jesus, he was dead for 4 days already. If you were here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus said, he's not dead, he's sleeping. Jesus spoke something that was not as though it was. Now, they didn't understand him. They kept saying, no, he's dead. So Jesus told them plainly, all right, yes, he's dead. But I am the resurrection and the life. So then he went to Lazarus' tomb, told Lazarus to come forth, and he came forth, right? Jesus operated by this principle. What we have a habit of doing, Eli, we have a habit of seeing what is and calling those things that are. Dad, I don't got no money today. I'm broke. Oh, man, I got a headache. I'm sick. We have a habit of speaking things when things are going wrong. But when things are going right, you don't ever just pull out your wallet, man, I got a lot of money today. opposite end, we don't speak as much as when things are going wrong. You wake up, I don't feel good. I'm sick. I don't know if I can go to work today. Man, I feel so bad. We will say what's wrong, don't we? But when you feel healthy, you're like, man, I feel charged today, man. I feel so alive. I'm so alert. We don't speak the good. And one of the things that I realized, the Bible says Abraham was not weak in faith by considering what was wrong in his situations, but he remained strong in faith by giving glory to God despite of what the circumstance looked like. It's right here. If you keep reading, the Bible says in verse 19, and Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. So one of the ways you stay strong in faith is by giving glory to God. Amen. Verse 21. But wait a minute. But he was giving glory to God and nothing happened yet. He was giving God praise in advance before anything happened. Faith sees not what's going wrong. Faith sees what God has promised, what he's going to do in his word. It doesn't matter what it looks like. If God says that he's the God that healeth me, I'm going to believe God for my healing and I'm going to give God praise as if I'm already healed. I may not have a job right now, but I'm going to give glory to God that my bills are already paid, everything is taken care of, and the job that God has for me is already there for me. Yes. Right? You need to learn to see the positive and see how God is working in your favor. The blessing of the Lord is always at work. And Abraham knew, God, you promised me, which means you're a blessing. The blessing is working. It's working. It's working. It's maneuvering and operating behind the scenes. So Abraham gave glory to God, believing that God was setting him up for the next breakthrough, for the next blessing he wanted. And in verse 21, the Bible says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And being fully persuaded that what God promised, he was also able to perform. So what God promises, it's his responsibility to perform it, right? What's our responsibility in the process between the promise and the performance? Have faith. Sustain faith. Come on. Staying strong in faith. So God promises, and then there's a process in between from the promise and the performance. You got to be fully persuaded that what God promised, he is faithful and just to perform. And when the Bible sees your faith, the Bible says, when he sees your faith, he rewards you. He counts it as righteousness. He counts it as righteousness. Verse 22. Therefore, it was imputed to Abraham for righteousness. And now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but it's also for us, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Remember what I said last week? I said two things. I said one, Abraham is the father of us all when it comes to faith, which means that Abraham's story gives us insight, principles, and revelation about how God also wants to move in our lives. And then I also said Abraham was the first person to ever hear the gospel preached. And that's why he's also known as the father of faith. The gospel was preached to Abraham. Let's look at Galatians 3 so you guys can see it. You know the gospel that saves us, the good news of Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible says it was preached to Abraham. Galatians chapter 3. I thought John the Baptist was the first person to preach the gospel. Then I thought Jesus and the disciples preached the gospel. The Bible says the gospel was preached to Abraham. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 5. He that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Are you of faith?
Yes.
All right, so that means the Bible says you are of the children of Abraham, which means that the same blessings that was promised to Abraham are transferred to you. It's very important that we understand that, because the blessings of Abraham are our blessings. Whatever God blessed, promised Abraham, he wants to be blessed. He has also promised that to us. As the children of Abraham, that means that we are also recipients of the lineage of Abraham. Then he says in verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathens through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, if God gave Abraham this vision about him being a blessing, that he was going to be so blessed that nations would be blessed, all the families of the earth would be blessed, and that he would be so blessed that people won't be able to contain the blessings that's on his life. If God says you are the child of Abraham, that means God's intention for you is so that you can also enter into the same realm of blessing and overflow and abundance that was promised to Abraham. And guess what? This is the vision that God has over every one of our lives. God wants you to live a blessed, healthy, enjoying life. Abundant. And that's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the good news. What's also amazing, though, Daryl, the gospel message that Jesus preached when he came and he healed the sick, he cast out devils, he preached the kingdom, he was offering an invitation, right? And he said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand, right? And so when Abraham had to leave his father's house, leave his country, leave his hometown, it was a call to repent. When Abraham was leaving, well, he was leaving behind the world as he knew it in order to step into a life God promised for him. So the first way the gospel is represented in Abraham's story was when he had to leave. And that's why the hardest part for us is just learning how to walk away from the things in this world that we think we need to rely on. As Brittany sang this song, we got to learn to be led by the Spirit and live without the borders. The things that we need, we think we need to hold on to in order to walk through this life. If we learn to trust God and rely on Him, God will lead us into our destiny far better than we can lead ourselves there. And so we got to learn to leave our country, our comfort zone. We got to learn to leave our family, the expectations they have of us. And we got to learn to leave our father's house. We talked about our father's house last week. Jesus said in John 8:44 that you are of your father, the devil, because you desire his desires and not the father's desires, right? So we got to learn to leave behind the desires of the flesh, the desires of the sin, the desires of the world. Leave that behind, because God has an upgrade in store for us. And in order for me to walk into those blessings, I got to leave. Somebody say leave.
Leave.
I'm leaving behind the world to enter into this new life that God has already preordained for me to walk in. You are God's workmanship. He already envisioned you. He already knew what career he wanted you to live to have. He already envisioned you and saw how many kids he wanted you to have. He already saw how many streams of income were going to be coming into your bank account, right? He already seen how many people's lives you were going to change and transform by the blessings that he's poured out on you, because we're blessed to be blessings, right? So God, if God has already seen this for us and already envisioned it for us, our responsibility is to leave our agenda and our ambitions behind and ask God to fill us with the vision that he has for our lives. And that's why the Bible says, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father doing. So the first aspect of the gospel being released into Abraham was that he had to repent. He had to leave. The second thing he had to do was to actually go in obedience to what God said to do. So he repented, then he put his faith towards God, and he believed that what God promised him, God was going to do on his behalf. The Bible says in verse 8, God justified the heathen through faith, and he preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So the gospel message that Abraham was a sinner, he believed God, God made him righteous because of his faith, is the same promise that we have over our lives today. You are a sinner, you heard the gospel, God said, leave this world, leave the things that you think you need, and now put your faith towards me. And when you do so, the Bible says, not only will you be blessed, but he counts that for righteousness. Just by simply having faith, Daryl, in what Jesus did for you, the Lord says, that is what I'm counting as righteousness on your behalf. And because I count you as righteous, because you have right standing with me, everything that I promised my faithful servant Abraham, everything that I promised his lineage and his children will also be transferred to you. Amen? And so now we're grafted in to the legacy and the lineage of our father Abraham. Anybody sang that song in Sunday school? Father Abraham, his many sons. That's why it makes sense now when you understand the story. I never understood it when I was a kid. So just sing it. You understand that you are the seed of Abraham, man. The same blessing that was on Abraham's life is on you. Do you know that when you walk in the blessing of Abraham, there's no curses attached to your life? Do you know that it's impossible for you to be cursed if you're blessed? You can't be cursed when you're blessed. The Bible says in verse 11, Galatians 3, verse 10, sorry. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. When Christ hung on a tree, it's all about the cross, right? So when Jesus hung on the cross, the Bible says he became a curse for us. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So in other words, Jesus took our curse when he went on the cross. He took our fall, our sins, that led to his demise, that led to his sacrifice. The Bible says Jesus took our curses, went on the cross, and said, now that I'm going to take the fall for the curse that was on your life as a result of your disobedience and your sin and your shame and walking according to your own ways, the Lord says, now I'm taking the curse so that all you need to do is simply walk in my blessings. And when you have faith and walking in the blessings of God, these curses are not attached to you. So there are no curses attached to your life the minute you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, and you are now walking in the blessings of Abraham. Do you understand? In verse 14, I know I got to do some back. I need to do some background teaching on this so that we can all be on one plane. But I just want you to see something right here. Verse 14, the blessing of Abraham comes on us through Jesus Christ that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So earlier we talked about we're saved by faith. The grace is given to us as a gift by faith. Then he says the promise of the Holy Spirit is given to us through faith. But we don't see God say anything about the promise of the Spirit to Abraham. He just said he would bless him, make him a blessing, all this stuff. But nowhere in there he said, I'm going to show you a land. But you don't see the promise of the Spirit in the blessing that God pronounced over Abraham's life. But Jesus said, when I leave, it's better that I leave because I'm going to send you the Spirit. And when he comes, he's going to lead you into all truth. And the truth that he's going to lead us into is in the understanding of the blessings of who we really are in Christ. So the Holy Spirit is the one who releases all of the blessings that God has over our lives. So I can't get the blessings apart from the Spirit. Abraham was led by God so that he can obtain the blessings. We are going to be led by the Spirit so that we can obtain the blessings. So if I don't learn how to be led by the Spirit of God, I'm going to walk outside and around the blessings that God has for me. So the blessings can only be released in my obedience to the Spirit of God. This church will be blessed as long as I continue to live according to the leadings and the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Your family will remain blessed as long as you continue to learn how to walk under the leadings and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Your bank account will remain fat and blessed as long as you continue to learn how to follow the instructions of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as I close, as we move forward and as we move deeper, I want us to understand two things. If you're taking notes, write this down. Matter of fact, it's better if I read it. Let's look at Hebrews 11, and then we're done. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you guys to read this. How many people want to grow in faith? How many people want to grow in their faith, all right? I want you to meditate on, read Hebrews 11 all week. Read Hebrews 11. So God is imparting his vision in us. I told you guys vision is created by words, which means hearing is seeing. Then seeing is believing. See, I gotta hear first before I see. Hearing is seeing. Faith comes from what? Hearing. Hearing the word of God. See, if I don't tell you, the Bible said, how can they believe unless a preacher is sent? Unless someone preaches the word, how can you believe, right? So I gotta hear the word so that I can see the promise that God has for me. Then when I can see it, I can believe it. When I believe it, then I'll see it. Then it'll manifest, right? Bible says in verse 11, now faith, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is probably the only time you ever seen a definition in the Bible. You know, the Bible doesn't really give definitions on stuff. You just see a word in there and you just gotta figure it out. But this is one of the only definitions you see, which means it's a priority. You gotta understand what faith is. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I just went over what people said. Before I even go, we're about to enter into our faith series. Verse 3. Through faith we understand. Full stop. Just put a period right there for that. Because you're not going to understand anything else from God until you simply have faith. It's through faith we understand. Not through understanding we have faith. You believe first, then you can understand. Atheists are trying to understand and then believe. It doesn't work that way. Through faith, we understand. What do we understand through faith? We understand that through faith, we believe that the worlds were framed by the very word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So things that we see today, Sister D, were first made by someone who saw it before they saw it, before we get to see it. Once again, no one's seen an iPad before until Steve Jobs saw it and made a substance of it. Right? Faith is not as far as people make it sound, or as deep as it really is. Can be, but it's really every one of us has a measure of faith. It takes faith to go to the train and wait for the train to come when no train is there. You stand there and you wait looking for it to come, right? Because you believe it's going to show up. We all use faith. Through faith, we understand that things that do appear were made by things which are not seen. But it's through the word of God the things that do appear are actually created. So this is why when I see Sister Crystal gave this testimony, it's through faith I understand that God has a plan to restore her family. Right? She may go home and see nothing and things may not look any different. But do I look at what I see or do I look at what I believe? And if, like Abraham, if I consider what I believe, and I'm fully persuaded that what God promised me, he will do, then the Bible shows me I will not be disappointed. I will be rewarded with my faith, because God will do just what he says he will do. He will perform what he promised. Amen? Amen. So whatever vision it is that you have in your life for today, for your family, for your ministry, I just want you to understand that. Don't be weak in faith, but be strong in faith. I can't have vision without faith. I can't have vision without faith. I cannot have vision without faith. Listen, the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. Which means that we have vision, we flourish. And the first vision that we ought to have of our lives is that we are the workmanship of God. He created us for good works. He has ordained my steps. He already envisioned me prospering, being blessed, and being a blessing to those around me, to my nation, to my city, to my family, and to this nation. And to the extent that you can believe God for more, God will do more for you. Amen?